Many of you may know that I am a retired structural engineer. And you may have a good idea of what structural engineers do. We don't design the shape or the layout or the appearance of a building to make it aesthetically pleasing. That's the job for architects. But using engineering principles and known material properties, structural engineers calculate how big those beams need to be to support the roof of this church, or how thick the walls need to be, or how much reinforcing steel needs to go into the concrete slabs that support our altar, which weighs quite a bit, and keeps it from crashing down through the floor into the choir room in the basement below. To be honest with you, I think it was the many hours I spent as a kid sitting in these pews and curiously staring up at those beams when I should have been listening to Monsignor Brophy's long-winded homilies. But I think that is what gave me the aptitude to pursue a career in structural engineering. But I did listen to Monsignor's homilies when he talked about building this church. And he mentioned many times that when this church was built, it was designed to last over 1,000 years. You don't have to be a structural engineer to know that for a building to last that long, it must be built on a solid foundation. That brings us to the famous line from the Gospel today when Jesus says, "And so I say to you, you are Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church." Jesus isn't talking about a physical church like St. Jude or the cathedral or the basilica. He's talking about the universal church. He's talking about Christ's church. There are many images of Christ's church given to us in Scripture, but one of my favorites is the image of the church as the body of Christ. We, all of us, baptized Christians, are the many parts that make up the one body of Christ, the church. The church is people, and it is made up of all who belong to Jesus, who believe that Jesus is God. And just as the Lord chose Eliakim to be the master of the palace in our first reading from Isaiah, Jesus chooses Peter, a person, to be the foundation of his church of many people. But isn't it funny that Jesus chose Peter to lead? Because up until that point, and even afterward, Peter didn't have the greatest track record with Jesus. For instance, in our gospel reading 2 weeks ago, the impetuous and eager to be close to Jesus, Peter, is the only disciple who asked to step out of the boat and walk on the stormy sea. Yet the moment he takes his eyes off of Jesus and looks at the fierce wind, panic sets in and his faith wavers and he begins to sink, crying out, "Lord, save me." Or in next week's gospel, when Peter will try to rebuke Jesus and he gets hit with some of the strongest words in the New Testament, Jesus says to him, "Get behind me, Satan. You are an obstacle to me. You are thinking not as God does, but as human beings do." Or in John's gospel of the Last Supper, when Jesus goes to wash the disciples' feet, Peter initially refuses, blurting out, "You will never wash my feet." But when Jesus tells him that unless he washes him, Peter has no inheritance with him, Peter swings wildly to the opposite extreme. "Lord, then not only my feet, but my hands and head as well." And we can also think of him falling asleep in the Garden of Gethsemane, or worse, his triple denial of Jesus that same night. Peter had many flaws and failures. But are we any better? Now, what I find fascinating is that Jesus had given Simon the name Peter, which means rock, 2.5 years before this moment in Caesarea Philippi. In John's Gospel, right on the first day that he met Peter at Bethany across the Jordan, one of the first things Jesus said to Peter was, "You are Simon, son of Jonah. You will be called Cephas," which is translated Peter. His brother Andrew and Simon Peter didn't know then why Jesus gave him that name. But what makes the rock metaphor so profound is that Jesus knew all of Peter's failures in advance. Jesus looked at a man who was impulsive, fearful, prone to running at the mouth, and capable of betrayal, and still said, "You are Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church." We might question Jesus' wisdom in selecting Peter for this job. But as St. Paul tells us in his letter to the Romans from our second reading today, "Oh, the depths of the riches and wisdom and knowledge of God! How inscrutable are his judgments and how unsearchable his ways." Paul is pointing out that God's wisdom is way beyond our comprehension. And so, of course, Jesus' choice of Peter to be the leader in the foundation of his church was spot on. We hear in the Acts of the Apostles that on Pentecost, with unflinching courage, Peter boldly preaches the gospel. His words pierce the hearts of the listeners, and about 3,000 are baptized that day. Peter, the foundation of the church, was laid out in full public view that day. And we see it when he stands up defiantly to the Sanhedrin, telling them, "Whether it is right in the sight of God for us to obey you rather than God, you be the judges. It is impossible for us not to speak about what we have seen and heard." And we see it when he realizes and declares that Christ's church is meant for the whole world, opening the doors of the church to the Gentiles. So why did Jesus pick a volatile, impulsive fisherman from Galilee over someone who was more polished and politically correct, connected, or better disciplined? One reason is that a leader who has never fallen cannot truly understand how to shepherd a flock of sinners. Because Peter knew what it meant to fail miserably, to sink in the water, to rebuke the Lord, and to commit the cowardice of a triple denial, he understood the depths of human weakness. When Jesus later tells Peter to feed my sheep on the shores in Galilee after the resurrection, he is handing the leadership over to the man who had experienced firsthand the mercy of the risen Christ. A rock forged in the fire of failure knows how to be gentle with others who stumble. Jesus didn't pick Peter for who he was on day one by the Jordan River. He picked him for who he was becoming. As we look at our own lives, with all our hesitation, our occasional failures, and our everyday flaws, let us turn to Peter as a role model, because we are called to follow the same path that he trod. We build Christ's church and advance his kingdom, not by pretending we are flawless, but by anchoring our identity in God's mercy and taking bold risks for the gospel. Christ builds his church not with flawless marble, but with flawed, redeemable human beings like us. So let us step forward this week with courageous faith, like Peter, trusting that the Lord who worked miracles through a broken fisherman can do extraordinary things through you and me. If Christ can build his eternal church on a foundation as fragile as Peter, imagine what we can do with a community of everyday disciples who are willing to say, "Lord, I stumble. I'm afraid sometimes, but I love you. Use me as you will."